Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as I was putting this together today, and I named it Love God with Everything in Your Soul, you know, there is so much stuff that is in the Bible, especially if you've been in our Bible study class here in the last couple of weeks. There is so many things that are in Greek that we can't say in English because of the language problems. But as we found out just this last Wednesday, that when Jesus says come, the word he uses is the same word that we use in English for dynamo, dynamic. It means power. So when Jesus says come to me in power, because it is his power that calls and it is his power that empowers us. Well, what is faith?
I just thought of it. Good Lord, believing in something that you cannot see.
All right. You take it on faith. And that was in here today. Because how can you believe in God when you have trouble believing in me because you've seen me, but yet you can't believe in something you haven't seen? And that kind of thing has been a problem since the beginning. Because when we are talking love, love comes from faith, doesn't it? And faith is in us. But is it our faith we operate from? No, it's his faith operating in us. I want you to listen to this because this really surprised me. I'm in the epistle reading from 1 John. Okay? And 1 John is a great book of the Bible because it's the simplest Greek in the Bible. If you're studying Greek, anybody can just about sit down and read this. And let's start with verse 4, and we're going to do 4. Chapter 4, and then we'll go from there. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Remember, we just talked today about spiritual warfare. If they're not from God, where are they from? Satan. They're from the evil one. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. All right, when you go back to the Old Testament, on every doorway of Jewish homes, there's a little square or rectangular box, okay? And if you notice, any time you see movies about this time period, they go in, they kiss the box. Why? Well, but what's in that box that is so special? All right, here's the scripture. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Everybody get it right? No, that's Hebrew. Okay. Shema Yisrael. Shema means hear. Hear, O Israel. Adonai Eloheinu. The Lord, Adonai Eloheinu, our God. Adonai, the Lord, Echad, one. The Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All right, one God. But yet, we are saying Jesus is God too. Now stop and think about this time period. If you were a good Jew, how are you going to take that? That is an anathema. You know, it's totally against that Shema. And the Shema, you touch every time you go into a house, and you touch it every time you leave a house. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You don't have multiple gods. Well, stop and think about this for a second. When we are talking about the Trinity, are we talking about one God or three gods? One God, isn't it? Remember, on we got Trinity Sunday coming up, and we'll do the Athanasian Creed. But there are not three gods. There is one God. So how do you accept that? Through faith. You don't. It just is. You know, and that's what happens. God sent his son. God so loved the world. Okay? Now, the Greeks have three, well, actually they got five words for love, but three main ones. Agape, phileo, and eros. Thank you. Erotic, physical love. Phileo, brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And agape. Okay? Undeserved love, okay, with sacrifice. Think about that for a second. Guess what year, what word is used in that section? God so loved the world. Agape. He gave them to us, but he gave them to us to die for us. And it's right there in the very beginning. But love in English is such an ambiguous word. What does it mean? Well, does it mean physical love? Well, yes. Does it mean brotherly love? Yes. Does it mean undeserved, unrequited love? Yes. With sacrifice? Yes. But how do you tell the difference? Because we just have one word we use for everything, don't we? Well, when we talk about love, what word are we using to mean in Greek? Agape. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. In fact, we had that up here. I don't think we have it up there now. But we had that up there for a long time, didn't we? Okay? Jesus gave us two commandments. That was one. What's the other one? Love your neighbor as yourself. All right. So when we have this reading today that tells us if you love God but don't love your neighbor, okay, even though he's smelly and has halitosis, you got to love your neighbor. Even though they say awful things about you, you gotta love your neighbor. But the thing is, love goes both ways, doesn't it? Okay? Can you disagree with someone in love? Yes. Tell us how the couch feels tonight, will you, Pastor? No, I think it's getting to your head right now. Carolyn's going to make sure of that. But, going back to that for a second. Can you love and disagree? Sure you can. But, do you disagree to the point of hate? Nope. And when you're talking about things, look at our government for a second. Let's throw this into that. Founding fathers knew that we couldn't agree on everything. Okay? And they even picked on each other. I've got that book of the Aurora over there that is all the editorials in the Philadelphia newspaper at the start of the country. You want to see some really bad ones? You ought to sit down and thumb through that sometime. I mean, what's going on in politics is not new. It's been there like that from the beginning. But they knew that we had to come to an agreement. So instead of making this a democracy, what is it? A constitutional republic. Okay? Where we send somebody to Washington to represent us. They're supposed to get together, work things out, and then let us know. You know, supposed to. Okay. Well, let me tell you a story. Do you ever read President Kennedy's Profiles in Courage? Great book. I got a copy of it if anybody wants to borrow it. George W. Norris. I taught at George W. Norris Junior High School in Omaha. Was the senator from Nebraska around 1880. And that's when the gold scare happened. It's called the gold. And it was right after that that William Jennings Bryan did his cross of gold speech at the Democratic Convention. Okay. But George W. Norris voted with all the Republicans. He was a Democrat. And the state of Nebraska calls him back. Now, there was a hall in Lincoln that held 3,000 people, and it was sold out. So George W. Norris comes out, walks out. There's not one word said. There's not one clap. It's just silent. You think people are a little upset with him? I would think, too. And so it came down, why did you do that? And he explained what the ramifications were for the country and why he did that. And he left to a standing ovation. You know, the thing is that love means you do what is best for people, right? Now, stop and think. Agape, love with sacrifice. Could George W. Norris have sacrificed his entire career over that? Sure he could. But like President Kennedy wrote about, I mean, this is Profiles in Courage. Do you have courage to stand up for your convictions? And do you have courage to deal with things as they are? Is that love? Well, that's probably the toughest kind of love there is, isn't it? Love the Lord with all your soul. Because doesn't he love us that way? Are we supposed to turn around and give it back to him? All right. Anything we give back to him, what does the Bible say is going to be done? It's going to be returned to us tenfold. So the thing is, if you're not willing to share love, are you going to receive love? No. And that's the thing is, we're not made that way, are we? It has to be a conscious decision. Are you going to let that faith that's in you lead you, because it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, in things we can't see? Can you see love? No. But you can see the result of the love, can't you? Okay. Now let me ask you this. What is the difference? Because I was just thinking about this last night. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It is not by works that you are saved. It's what? So that you may boast. It is by the grace of God through faith. Grace of God through faith. Okay. Woody Carolyn gave us a great definition of grace. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
Did I say something good?
You said something good. You want me to hold him? You want to hit him again? No.
Undeserved kindness.
Undeserved favor is what I've been saying too. Undeserved kindness. Pastor, she's going to drive home. But stop and think about that again. Seriously. Undeserved kindness, undeserved favor. We don't do anything to deserve that, do we? I'm rereading Luther's book called The Bondage of the Will. And he wrote a lot of things. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. There was a theologian by the name of Erasmus. that said that you have to participate in your salvation. If you're not doing something to earn it, you're not going to get it. We just talked about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, didn't we? Okay? It is by grace through faith. You know, it is not through works that you may boast. Okay? It is grace through faith. So, do we have to do anything to deserve that grace? No. But the Roman Catholics do, don't they? Anglicans do. Methodists do. They believe you have to do that. All right, that's called, in theology, synergism. All right, that's a real fancy word that means you have to work for it. Okay? We believe, here's another great word, I like this one, mongerism. They have all these great theological terms. All mongerism means is that we receive everything without having to do anything. And isn't that what we believe? Okay, so in bondage of the will, okay, we are bonded to the will of God. Yes? Okay. Now, remember in the confession, there's a one old one we used to do that we are in bondage to sin and we can't free ourselves. I took it out because George didn't like that one. Because he said, once we're saved, we're not in bondage to sin. Well, we believe we are. Because we're sinners. Okay? But this is also, of all things, in the Missouri Synod hymnal, that's the second other version that you can pull out. So, you know, a compromise. And actually, I think this one is a little bit better, too, because it's not so heavy theologically. You with me? Because many times we can hit things really deep, like I'm doing today a little bit. But what it boils down to this. Do we have to do anything to deserve God's favor? No. Okay? It's undeserved. What did you use?
Kindness.
Or favor from God. Do we deserve it? I mean, if we had to pay for the stuff we do, we're probably going down the wrong tube, aren't we? Has God ever said you had to be perfect? No, but he expects you to try. God so loved the world. Guess what word? Agape. You know, you start looking for that kind of thing, and whenever you see agape, what is that? That's God's grace. It's undeserved, it's given to us, and he's going to sacrifice for us. Now, do we love him back the same way? Are we going to sacrifice for him? But do we have to do it? No. Do we want to do it? Okay, you see, if you have to do it, that's that synergism. If you want to do it, it's the mongerism. Because mongerism, we receive. Synergism, we participate. You with me? You have to earn. So you are not forgiven unless you earn it. You're not going to heaven unless you earn it. Does the Bible say that? No. For God so loved the world. And what's the title of my sermon today? Love God with everything in your soul. And guess what word I'm talking about in that? Agape. He sacrificed for us, and are we sacrificing for him? Yeah. My friends, it just is real easy. We receive everything from God, and it's got to pour out from us. And the reason I'm pointing at the cross, you know how I say that the upper thing we receive, everything flows out of us this way. So, love your neighbor as yourself. Accept them the way they are. That's like that story of the church that has a bum that comes in and sits down. You know, scruffy, hasn't shaved, stinks, that kind of thing. People get upset. One of the ushers goes over to him and says, "Sir, you're just going to have to leave. You're not dressed well enough for us, and and you're not ready for coming in here. So he gets up and walks out. 5 minutes later, he walks back in, walks to the front of the church, and he says, "My dear friends, I'm your new pastor." For God so loved the world, and love your neighbor as yourself. Simple, isn't it? Boy, I wish it was that simple. My friends, may this love of God, the agape, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.